That's no moon.
Hello there, and welcome to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, episode 34. I'm Cockles, and I am joined with two of our regulars, plus a guest, because it's a special show, and special things are happening next week. First up, I'll introduce one of our regulars. It is the man who is eating an apple, not a canine. It's Andrew Terrell.
Well, you got to keep your teeth fresh so you can eat that meat a lot easier, though, right?
I'm going to take your word on that, my friend. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
I'm all good. Thank you very much. I'm good. The next man I will introduce is a man who just literally 30 seconds ago said, "Oh, I'm from Lancashire, but I live in Northamptonshire." But he's still a guy that went to a private school. His name is Ollie Dyer.
Hey, Cockles.
Hello,
mate. Just want to remind you that I'm better than you in every single way.
I feel like that's factually.
I think it's pretty factual.
Yeah, pretty factual.
I don't know how. I think we need an independent adjudicator can judge. Yeah,
Andy's independent. He just said so.
I don't know that.
Andy's I think our guests can quite easily call this one out.
I'm going to go with Andy's not independent because he's from Peterborough, so he's got bias against Cambridge. But there we go. Next up is a guest. Now when we have guests on, we always like to bring get a little introduction song. Obviously, we were going to have Zane Ferguson on, who's going to be part of the stream team, stream dream team, as I shall call it. And his intro song is amazing. California. But then he was a letdown and couldn't join because he had audio issues going on. But so I've got the next man who this is more of a tenuous introduction song, but it kind of works because.
Okay.
This artist's name is in your name as well. So, I mean, we'll get it going and maybe you'll see what's going on. It's a slow burner. What was quite funny there is everyone sitting there thinking, oh, what's that song? And it's Kate Bush. And we're joined by Bushman, John Bushman, also known as Bushfax on the Discord. How are you doing, buddy? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to the show. Some people have quoted us as calling the European Stabcast, which is, I take that as a compliment, if I'm honest. Some people have said Austin Miller quoted the funnest podcast. So there's certain words. I mean, funnest is an interesting one. Funnest, I don't think, is a word. But I'll take it from a man who is who's bigger than me and looks like a Floridian Jesus. So I'll take that all day long. Welcome to the show. For those who don't know who you are, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm John Bushman, and I don't know. I was part of the Fifth Trooper for a bit. I was a founding member of Critical X for those deep, deep podcast listeners.
That is a flashback.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot that was a thing.
Right. And I created, but don't maintain it anymore, the ELO rankings that's hosted on Fifth Trooper.
That's a touchy subject for Mr. Dyer at the moment. He's not happy after seeing his recent rankings, but
I am not, like I said, for the last 8-9 months, I have not been involved in it.
I'm just going to say Ollie's precipitous fall is due to what I will call the Cockles effect, which is quite funny, but there we go.
All I care about, mate, is I'll never be as low down as you.
Oh, that's fine. But the thing is, I play, I have more fun.
I think Ollie could lose all 8 games at Worlds to every best player there and still rank higher than you, Cockles.
No, because if he loses to every best player there, he only loses like 1 point per time. He needs to lose to those who are the lower echelon. He needs to lose to those who are much, 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 much lower.
Fine, lose to Ryan from Stabcast or something. Or, you know.
What you right. mean Stabcast Cockles?
Yeah.
hold on. This is can we just stop the comparisons? Dave Grant has already called me Jay. You're now calling me Stabcast Ryan. It's just like, hold on a second, boys.
No, Ryan is just the Stabcast Cockles. That's what I'm saying.
I'll take that.
He likes to bring the fun lists.
It's fine. I'll take that. He's a top dude, so we'll have a good chat.
Now, I'm going to apologise though quickly because there's a slight tangent for them. I can never remember which one's which. Was it Ryan or Ben who had the amazing time in Vegas? He went for an all you can eat buffet breakfast with like wine and champagne, had a massage. I can't remember which one it was.
That wasn't. I don't think that was Ryan. That was Tim, wasn't it?
Was that Tim?
That sounds like Tim behavior after a couple losses.
Yeah, he went. Yeah, I think it was Tim. Now that is how you do a tournament. I'm all for it. Like tank hard, 0-3, then get smashed up on the second day while everyone else is playing.
Yeah,
that was a great episode to listen to.
That's the way to live. So obviously the reason Mr. Bushman is on this evening is because he is part of the Stream Dream team that is the That's No Moon Yavin based collaboration going on for Worlds next week by the time you listen to this, and you may be listening to us on the plane on your way over from wherever you may be. And we'll talk about that shortly, but first the usual things are thank you to our Patreon supporters and those who are listening. We love and admire you and respect you and know your life choices to support the podcast. And yeah, so thank you for doing what you're doing. And this is what we do with all the videos that we produce and the content that we make. It couldn't be possible without you guys supporting us and that sort of stuff. Worlds preview. So obviously we'll go from the format first. And then we'll talk about the side events that are going on and then the expectations. So, Mr. Bushman, I'll start with yourself. Tell us about the format of Worlds. What are the days playing? Who's doing what, when, and how? So give us the breakdown for those who may not have paid as much attention as they would have liked to.
Yeah, so I may have not paid as much attention as others as well. But
I feel like
the gist of it...
We should have.
Well, I mean, I'm not playing, right? But I know, so for sure, I know Thursday is the last chance qualifier simultaneous to another just Swiss event that's going on at the same time. And then Friday and Saturday are the 2 days of Swiss for World Championship. And there's not
is
a
it
cut.
Swiss?
Okay. It is, as far as I know, it is Swiss, but people are treating it like it's single elimination because if you lose once, you can't make it to Sunday. But let's be fair, if you lose once or twice or three times in a Swiss event, are you just going to leave in normal circumstances? Like
No.
People should play all of the 2 days for sure.
Yeah. That's my biggest complaint.
Yeah,
for it to be Swiss, you get to participate in all the games, but obviously you only get to participate in one if you suck, and like I'm gonna do, hopefully.
Oh, is it a legitimate cut of players from Friday to Saturday?
Yeah, it's only top 32.
Oh, okay,
so I think it's like 8 3-1s get through or something like that. At the moment,
okay.
270 players.
But those 8 3-1s then can't make the Sunday final.
Oh, which is fucking stupid in itself.
they're just there for fluff.
Language, Cheryl.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm just working this out for you. Yeah, so if there's 280 players, which is what we're sat at the moment, I think, then
it's 279, assuming a 20.
They're not all going to show
Dantic
up. I'd be surprised if 250 showed up. Right.
No, but I think for the maths, though, it needs to be, is it less than
256.
So I don't.
Powers of two.
There's
a Critical X episode on that.
I don't see there being 30 odd people dropping, though, and no showing. Like, that's high numbers. Compared to, if
10 or 15 out of 120 tend to drop. And we're doubling those numbers, double the drop numbers.
I suppose the
drops is 10%. But it is Worlds, and it is Adepticon. which is generally like a bigger pull for people to come. At least early, because you know, yeah. you can go and jump into other games, or you can go and look around the vendors. Like, there is other stuff to do, so it's not just going to be like a wasted trip. So I imagine, like, I think last year there was 7 out of 100. I think we ended up, I think it was like 115, 116 in the end. And that was with like 7 drops. So assuming we double that, we're probably looking at 14 to 15 drops, which at 280 puts us at 265.
Yeah.
So the problem with that still is you've got only 18 players that are 4-0 on a top 32. So then obviously 6 3-1s go through.
You just said 18.
All right, so there's 18 4-0s on day one.
Yeah.
And then top top 32 four, process.
So 14 3-1s will go through.
Yeah, sorry, bad maths, yeah.
Ooh, I'd hate to be one of them 3-1s at like the next one after. That'd be horrible.
But then I think, as Ollie said, a really important point though is
the record carries over.
Yeah, which then means if you've lost a game, you still can't make for day 3. So you could go undefeated for the rest of the day 2, and you still don't make day 3.
So the only way you can do it outside of straight winning is 3 wins and an ID. Because that at that point, depending on how many other draws there will be, you could have 1-3-3-1-0 player go through into the top 4. But your SOS needs to be impeccable, so
you have zero control over.
Yeah,
but this is worse, because people will now drop from the event.
So your SOS, yeah.
So your SOS will tank, dependent on, you know, who you've played. So if someone's just for fun, you know, they got a pass down to like, I don't know, 8th or something, and they just want to rock up, play some fun, you playing them in round 1 or 2 can mess up your chances for the rest of the event, which is where obviously the issues come from. Now I think you should have just 1 undefeated player to win the whole event. I think that makes the most sense. But when there's a cut in the middle of the event, that's when the SOS being there becomes a problem.
Well, you've got 2 cuts technically.
Yeah, I meant like the big cut. Once you're in day 2, it's fine. Like if your aim is to make top 8, cool. Just try and win out a couple of your games. And like, you know, I'd be happy with the top 8 finish like last year.
Are they doing it top 8 on Sunday or top 4?
So it's top 4, but last year they did 4 rounds on the Saturday, because they did a top 8 cut, played the first round on the Saturday night, and then the final 2 rounds on the Sunday.
So I don't think they're doing that this time. That's why we're having 4 rounds on Friday.
But it wouldn't need to be 4 rounds if we were 256 or below.
Correct.
It would be 3-3-2, but now it's going to be 4-3-2. So if the winner's playing in the Swiss event, it's going to be 13 games of Legion in 4 days.
And when you did, you can't do the last chance qualifier as well, though, can you?
which will mean Mind Zone and Bushman's voice is going to need to be sufficiently lubricated with plenty of water. I feel like
not just sorry, water.
I'm sorry. Did you say Jaeger?
That's what I heard.
Bushman, I'll be rocking up to the booth after every game. Cheeky little shot o'clock. How'd you find that game, Ollie? Oh, rough. And then proceed to carry on with my day.
What's your name? Robert Spencer. That's what he was doing, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah,
you see Ollie's games getting better as he gets more drunk.
I mean that honestly is generally how it goes. I was playing against Wes at the WTC, and honestly, I don't think he's ever been that hungover in his life before, because he just turned to me mid-game and he went, I'm looking right, and then my eyes are catching up. Is this normal? And I was like, yeah, it is. it is, mate. Don't you worry. You'll be all right.
Uncle Ollie will look after you now. So just to clarify, then back to some. So there are 4 games on the Friday, 3 games on the Saturday, 2 games on the Sunday, and then with the LCQ/ Swiss warm up. We'll call it warm ups. I think it's probably LCQ / warm-ups on the Thursday, all of which are being streamed by That's No Moon / Yavin and Yavin Base together in a collaboration.
I don't know if we're streaming the LCQ or the Swiss necessarily, or if we get to if we could just choose between the two.
I feel like
spicy matchups.
I don't. That's what I was going to say. Look up. Maybe look on that one. Look what could be the funkiest lists, and then And then on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, go into the competitive realms of well, that sort of thing. You go look at the funky lists and then go with that. That's how I would look at it. Because we want, like, for example, in Spain, we wanted to get Weebear on with his double bus five fleet trigger dudes, but we couldn't because his opponent didn't fancy it on being on stream, which is absolutely fine. That's well with you, right? But it was just like, that was a funky list and we wanted to see it.
I think because it depends on how many rounds you plan on streaming on the Thursday, because obviously the LCQ is three rounds, but the Swiss is four rounds.
Do they start at the same time? Are they like on the same schedule until the fourth round?
I think they're pretty close, but it all depends. I need to go back and have a look at it. So I think there was a slight oversight originally because there was like no lunch break in the last chance qualifier, but I'm going to assume that they've put one in now.
Oh, no, so I think the no lunch break was on the Swiss. I think the last chance qualifier starts at 9 and we're starting at 8 because we're having four games for some reason. So I think we're the ones who miss out on the lunch break.
Wow.
That's fine, mate. I'm going to go to Target beforehand just so I can go in there. I've never been to an American Target. I just want to stand out the front and go, Target!
The words Uber Eats come to mind for me. Uber Eats are what I plan to go to, or call in.
Well, maybe they probably do have Uber Eats in America, to be fair.
Because it's an American company.
In my head, I'm there like, they won't have Just Eat in America.
You remember when you said you were better than me? You don't know about Uber Eats.
you mean that I eat less takeaways than you? Yes, I'm better than you.
No, it's just general knowledge, mate. General knowledge. Anyway, so 4-3-2 on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, plus the LCQ / Swiss on the Thursday, which means myself, Zane, and Bushman are going to be suitably groggy by the Sunday, which will be entertaining. There are obviously some side events going on the Sunday as well. I think there's it's a Battle Force event, I believe, is one of the side events on the Sunday. Can anyone else remember?
Yeah,
Battle Force events. Okay.
Yep. Oh, the other key side event is the well, Ollie, it's your jazz. You're organising this one.
So as in Spain, and we missed it last year because it was four rounds on the Saturday. We are going to go and have another mental karaoke night. I've already found a karaoke bar that is very close to the venue. I think it's like a 5-minute drive or something. And I'll be booking that. We've already got the 5280 Legion lads coming out for it. Zyconia and the Aussies are in for it. Obviously, that's No Moon will be making a show in, including Cockles. And then Austin, in whatever form he appears in, will also, I'm sure, be making an appearance. I'm not sure Luke Cook can handle it this year, though.
If the Aussies are out, I will be absolutely upset if I don't hear "I Come From a Land Down Under" by Men at Work. And that'll upset me. So obviously we've got side events on the Sunday, which are the Battle Forces and things like that. And then expectations, gentlemen. Now, obviously we're recording on the Tuesday and your list submissions are in 2 days. Well, they say in a day and a bit's time on the Thursday. Are the two of you willing to share your lists if you are settled or not yet? That's absolutely fine.
Not even a list will be locked in
3 days. You know,
all I can say is that I have submitted my list for both the Swiss and Worlds. I'm not late this year. Thank God for that. I've read the information correctly. Plenty of practice at games. Might be Blizzard, might not be. We'll see.
So with go on, Andy, and you were going to say something. I think.
I've submitted experimental droids.
Okay.
What that is, I'll keep a little bit, but faction, everything's all locked in.
That leaves it plenty of ambiguous because you can run all sorts of stuff on there, so that makes sense. Ollie, you're going to keep shtum. So
if I told you my list name, you'd know. People would know exactly what it is.
Not derogatory towards me?
Oh, it's horrendous to you, mate. I think, and there's two different ones for Swiss. I think, honestly, for the world's main event, it's called Dogs and Dirt, a meal by Andy Terrell.
I look forward to that being read out at some sort of ceremony. That'd be quite fun.
That's the only reason I want to make the top eight, is so that he has to include it in his write-up on the fifth truth.
Ah, so Worlds is the only write-up I don't do on top eight.
Will have to include it.
So, with that in mind, obviously keeping lists somewhat somewhat quiet for the moment. Have you any expectations of what you expect to see? The majority of lists would be, or expect to come up against. We know Inquisitors are coming out. Do you expect to see them? What are your expectations for lists you expect to play against? Andy and Ollie, you go first, and then me and Bushman can talk.
So I think Inquisitors is a bit of a weird one because it's not going to be released in the UK in time. Or at least I think some people in America have already got it.
Well, they do.
Or they're getting it on like Friday. We've had shipping delays, so, and I assume if we've had shipping delays, most of Europe is going to have had shipping delays.
Have you seen what they're doing for X-Wing, though?
No.
So for X-Wing, we've got an expansion out. I think it's, again, it's I think the official release date is like the 18th or something, or it'll be this Friday, but shipping delays means it arrives after Worlds. But because the official release date is is pre-Worlds and list submissions have to include it. They've basically said you can come and pick up your proxy card, so it'll be an official proxy card for it, at the TO table. So it's basically you can use the stuff that might not be out in your country, and basically you can just use any ship to represent it, and they give you an official proxy card. So they might do that for Legion as well.
I mean, it's entirely possible, but I think, I'll Andy, if you want to just check for a quick set, I'm going to load up what lists have actually been put into World so far in terms of numbers.
So while you get that information, I'm going to chuck a speculation out there. Bushman, who do you think? What is there a list style or archetype that you think might be the dark horse? Because I have a suspicion. I think I know.
Dark horse.
Either do you have an outside win, an absolute winner? But I have a dark horse I think is under expected, maybe underappreciated. I can't decide the word. But my dark horse is Tempest. And I think a Tempest Force could be something that will do well.
Really?
Yeah, I have a sneaky... You know when you just have that feeling? And I just have like because I just think Tempest could do well if piloted well. That is the key part. Piloted well, but it has to be... I think it's the triple ATSD Tempest as opposed to the multi-scout Tempest.
But that's the only way Europeans run it. Americans don't run it.
That's what I mean. So I think a triple ATSD Tempest could surprise and be the dark horse of if someone chooses to bring it.
I think it's very hard to pilot well, especially three of them blocking their own, like each other's LOS against anything that's running at it, especially. I think clone balls cut that in half, and I think the lightsabers finish off the other half.
So
why do you think a clone ball tears up the full armor SKU list?
Fire sports, because they're going to have impact in one or two of the heavies.
Okay, so and most Anakin, lists
plus saber throw.
Yeah, so ignore Anakin because he's the only exception there for me because I think he's got the saber throw fire support. But your other Yoda balls, so like, as I say, Yoda Padme, they're running, what, two RPSs at best, which is impact four in a list. And
that's
you've got...
before natties, like, against white wave armor.
But they're only going to engage you at range four. In theory, the ATST should only engage you at range four because they're going to outgun you. And obviously all you get back is your RPS shot back. And I know it's all theory and nothing ever plays out that way, but even if you include your natties, like a range free fight, you'll get, what, four hits through. They save one at worst case. Well, worst case is none, obviously. But if they save one, that's only three wounds out of 11. There's two med bots, two repair bots in there as well. That's a lot to take down. Three ATSDs quite quickly.
They're not getting into range two for the blast, though, then they're also fighting through cover and all of the defensive tech with only three shots.
But they're rolling nine dice a shot.
Yeah, nine dice down to seven, minus all the defensive tech, right?
Yeah.
Like, but 21 hit max coming at them. That they get to save and they get to dodge against and surge against.
But
in barrier
by getting to range two, though, the counter argument there is all I'm negating is two damage by the cover, which they can dodge anyway. So they're going to
dodge more regardless.
But you're putting yourself more at risk to get the open cover shot to then not obviously to receive more damage in return. So
yeah,
I mean you're right. It is only 21 dice though, which isn't a lot when you say it out loud. But
right,
I don't think it. Anakin shreds through
27 dice, Andy.
Oh, 27, sorry.
Well, I was subtracting the cover, right?
Yeah. There you go.
So that's why he's... minus the six hits.
Minus Yeah, no, I think Anakin shreds through it, but I think the Yoda one will beat it objectively.
Yoda
but...
also has ways of pushing fire supports, like or maneuvering, or like orchestrating fire supports with guidance.
Yeah, true.
Getting face-up tokens into range 3 to fire even units that are staying back at 4.
To get the extra dice. Yeah, completely.
It's very, I wouldn't say it's very hard to, it's quite hard to do situationally to manipulate that, because if you're 3 AT-STs bearing down on you as a threat is quite hard, because at the same time, the other units in that list, like the scouts and other things, are doing objective shenanigans. So, for example, if the Tempest player manages to force key positions, and the key position in the middle is somewhat small, then it's a nightmare for a Republic player to shift. And I'm also not just thinking of Republic players with their Yoda balls and the... Well, it's Yoda balls or Anakin balls, let's be fair, because it's not much Kenobi.
There will be at least one.
I don't know if...
LVO winner.
Depending on the experimental droid variant, it could be an interesting one if you're running... I don't know. If it depends what you're running on the experimental droids that can make that good or bad. I think it's interesting anyway. If they're piloted well from an experienced player, I think it could catch people unawares, because some lists really don't like an armor skew. And I think that obviously is the armor skew, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Ollie, you've been suspiciously quiet.
Well, yeah, I'm just... Separatists have just got a bracket next to it, but their box looks bigger than Mercenary, so I'm going to assume it's a touch bigger. So there is 25 Republic, of which I see maybe 75% of that being Yoda Padme.
75 is bold.
I honestly think that's...
I would say it's 75% of either Yoda or Anakin Padme. I think either or. Yeah. They're pretty much the same list.
Okay, and then the other 25% is going to be Wookiees or something out there, like the LVO winner. Empire at 21. I have no idea what Empire players are going to be running. I think there's a couple of like double darks, a couple of remnants, a couple of double bounties. I'm honestly not sure as much as I love it if we're going to see an Empire win this year.
Well, if Luke Cook has anything to say about it, of course it'll be another Empire win.
that's why I'm going to be well equipped with the Jaegers, mate.
I hope it's not another Empire win, just because of like it would be nice to have something else. I would go further and say I hope it's not a Red Save Army win. That's just my preference.
Rebels are at 18.
Yeah.
So 18 Rebels is a fair chunk. And
You know why that is? That's 18 Ewoks.
it's not 18 Ewoks, because Ra-Ra Rasmussen will be running Ahsoka, Cassian. Are you still laughing at Ra-Ra Rasmussen?
That tickles me every time.
Russia's greatest love machine.
He's my favourite German, so yeah. Take that, Finn.
He'll be very disappointed in you.
I hold the Germans to a higher standard.
Dennis and Johannes will be very upset for you hear you say that.
That's all right. Dennis is mine.
Dennis is just bearded Chris Reese. So you know he's classed as English, and Johannes is just Johannes. He's a character, right? So Separatists, I'm going to assume, is on like 11, maybe 12,
and between 9 and 18, I'd say, by the looks of the size of that pie chart.
Yeah, so I've got no real idea there, but I'm going to assume that like 80% of Separatist lists that you were going to see are going to be experimental droids. I think that you'll see maybe a Cad Bane, a Sarge, kind of mix, or a Sarge bounty, maybe Bosk. You'll probably see something like that in there. I don't think there'll be many Geos. I think that they're probably just, it's a bit too early with them being out on the tables for people to have really worked out where to break them.
You mean you won't see the Geonosis invasion force?
You might. Like, you might see some Geos. Certainly not.
I'm sure we'll see some with 250 lists.
Like... Yeah, and obviously this is... Not many people have submitted a list at this point, so obviously this pie chart will change. And then mercenaries are going to be 9, so you probably see some... I mean, from if Cherokee opens anything to go by, that's going to be 9 Bosk Pike gun lines.
Oh.
So with that in mind, with the lists we think are in terms of the breakdown and things there, Bushman, if you were playing, what would you take, Stab Interest, if you were playing? What would be your list?
If I was playing and wanted to have fun, I would take the double bus and Opalook.
You've just made Andy go, bleh! Not Andy, sorry, Ollie go, bleh! There you go.
If I wanted to win, I would take Yoda and Padme.
Okay.
The Op-Bus Luke, is that the, like, Brian Bear kind of one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have, like, one or two upgrade changes on his, but I've played it and played against him playing it, and it's great.
It's fun.
It lets Luke do his stuff, and it lets him do a lot of stuff against clones.
If I was playing to compete, I'd take Anakin, probably quad RPS, Padme something.
You're that worried about Tempest, huh?
No. It was because it's something I know that something I've played and know I did well with at an event last year, and it's just something I know. So people have so there's been a discussion in various WhatsApp chats and various things that I've been part of, and they've been like, some people have had very much a list dilemma about what to take. And the general advice I've given has been, if it's been, take what you know, don't take what you haven't had the reps with, because Ollie can get reps in because he's got a lot more time than, say, myself. If I were going to Worlds, he can get more reps in because he can. I wouldn't be able to get as many reps in, so I would have to take something that I know already as a core experience. For example, that would be, if you go a long time ago, it'd be the Rebels, but now it's a Jedi and Padme and some clones. So that's my experience. So I not have the most reps. So there's not as much potential for error, if that makes sense. There still will be, but not as much potential. So that's how I would go. And I've said that to some of the people who... So I played a game last week against a guy called John, who's based in London. He came up to Cambridge and I played with Rebels, and he played a list that was a variant of a clone list that he wanted to play, that was sort of, he wanted to get it out of his system, which was double AT-RTs with flames and Anakin, and then supporting clones with arcs and stuff like that. And the Rebels won. There was some wild swinging dice, which is interesting. But the Rebels won, and so it meant that John got that out of his system. And the discussion we had was, what have you played the most? Roll with that. And I think that's what he may or may not do. He may or may not run a form of Anakin with clones. He was still talking about it. In fact, the last message I had from him was to check his battle deck. I still need to do that because he was interested. On that, my battle deck advice, and Ollie, I don't know if you would agree or disagree, is my two schools of thought are, either I'll run a battle deck that I know I can run and it's perfect for me, or I'll purposely pick a battle deck that everyone hates. For example, people won't like playing Disarray. They won't like playing Payload. They won't like playing certain missions or scenarios, whatever. And that makes people go, ugh, I don't like it, that sort of thing. So that's my school of thought on that. But given
to get yourself right, player.
Yeah, given there's only 6 missions and you have to choose 4, it's not like there's a huge variance anyway.
It's 8.
Oh, it's 8, of course it is. Yeah, oh, that's why, because I'm missing cards.
I think that you should probably just focus, like, stop worrying about what is going to mess with other people and just look at what is not going to mess you up. Because if you, Legion, yeah, you've got to prep yourself to go up against all the different factions, all the different lists, but if you have a solid plan with your objectives that you want to follow through with, great. But if you're taking clones, don't take Disarray. That's not very sensible. If you're there like, oh, but it might mess my opponent up, yeah, but it also mess you up, and it'll be the one game where it's sabotage the moisture evaporators. On disarray, you lose a unit because it's set up on the other side and they've got a line of sight blocker and they can hide it.
Unless it's a bark.
A bark even probably just falls down to like an experimental droid triple sniper shot. You know, it's 12 dice PS3. You're probably going to drop a bark in one turn.
Maybe I've not come up against that yet myself, but there we go. But
yeah, I think it's like that. But like, there's the obviously the other school of thought is like, worry about your opponent when you get to the table, and that's when like you look through what they have. If they've got a battle deck that favors you, but you want table side, that's when you can kind of make those decisions. But you know, so long as you've got a plan and you stick to it, and you don't try and do crazy things that just aren't necessary, you'll probably go all right.
Bushman, what's your bid that you would... Do you like a bid or do you favour...
No, I've never been a bidder.
You've never been a bidder, so you're happy just rolling whatever goes, that sort of thing?
Yeah. I think that makes sense. I like to... I mean, red player is great. You have a ton of control on turn zero, even if you're using their battle cards. So long as you are okay playing most objectives, like 6 or 7 out of the eight objectives, red player is always the way to go.
Yeah,
getting the table side is huge. Final say in battle card selection, huge.
I like the choice, so I tend to have a small bid. Although when I had my Yoda Kenobi list, I had like a 12-point bid, but that was when everyone was running a big bid. I like the choice because that's my style. Andy.
You also forgot that technically if you've got zero bid, you've also got the tiebreaker as well.
Yes.
Which is just as important.
I'm not one that my games will never go to that tiebreaker.
No, but it's something in there. Obviously, if someone's put a bid in and they've got sabotage, then, well, I'm winning to start off the game, obviously.
Right. It is nice to have them forced to be aggressive against you.
Yeah, if you're using their deck, then you know how this game's got to play out if you're playing certain missions, like Hostage or something.
Red is also the only player that can force a specific objective, condition, or deployment. Blue cannot force. Blue can force like a pair. Blue can force like the third or fourth slot. But Red can force that third slot anytime.
Yeah, so you can you can just basically say sod off to hostage exchange if you haven't got the list to deal with hostage exchange.
Limited Viz landed in third slot and you have a Jedi or Wookiees.
Yep.
That's happening.
Perfect. Exactly. That's what you want. Someone's happy about that.
Someone else that likes Limited Viz. I wonder what his list is.
So you've said what you'd run. I've said what I'd run. What do you guys not want to face? I'm not going to, because obviously not what you are facing, because I'm just, what would you prefer? What's the word I'm looking for? What gives you pause for thought if you see it across the table? Andy, I'll try this to you first.
Ironically, Tempest.
I didn't even plan that. There we go.
Yeah.
Isn't Tempest just a downgraded double dark trooper? 27 dice compared to 9 dice 4 times, right? Red saves compared to white saves.
I would.
Objective ability compared to not.
Command cards? I don't play Empire too much, but so that's why. So
I think the command cards is probably the only thing that gives Tempest anything over Remnant.
Okay.
Because I think you're right. I mean, when you kind of break it down like that, it's and the Remnant will probably have more activations due to that as well.
Actually, over time, the double darks dice pool
get worse.
Hardly.
Yeah.
But their red saves compared to the white is a huge difference.
Get no cover. So I can hide an AT-ST behind a building, get cover from it from your impact shot.
You also can't repair dark troopers.
Yeah, I think on paper you're right. I mean,
pros and cons either both sides.
When you're comparing it like that, when it's the amount of dice you're throwing and one can do objectives, one can't, etc. I think you're right. I would probably prefer to. I think the Tempest matchup still beats double darks as well, potentially because of the
They have more impact in the double darks. don't really until range two.
Which means they've got to walk through that hell of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the it's the free line of sight blockers. Like my list, I've got impact, I've got pierce, I've got maneuverability and things like that. So I can do all of their objectives, which again, which is why I'm playing an 800 point list as well. But it's the line of sight blockers, and if you end up paying payload, you're not playing payload, you're paying kill points. And I think that's probably the reason for me not liking Tempest, or the matchup for me against Tempest is harder. I think it's not unwinnable in the practice games I've had. And I've tweaked my list since I've started playing them as well to accommodate for playing against Tempest. So originally, I think when I first played him, I had no impact on my list. And I was like, this is not going to go down well. but now I've got impact on my list. So
Tempest scares you. Ollie?
Doesn't scare.
Sorry, gives you pause for thought. Sorry, that was the question. Ollie, what gives you pause for thought?
Nothing scares Andy.
Furry bears do.
Ollie is our furry bear.
I don't know really. I don't think there's any one list out there that terrifies me. I think there's going to be a lot of hard games that I'll come across, like for sure. If I see Andy, I'll jump for joy because I batter experimental droids. But that's yeah. I think in terms of list, there's probably like five or six that are really difficult games. The rest are fairly sort of in my favour, but I don't think there's one list out there that just absolutely decimates me.
I was talking to my dad while I was walking the dog earlier about this.
Walking?
What? Yeah. Okay. I don't think there's ever been a point where me and Ollie have been playing and the scales have been so one-sided. So last year when I was Ollie was running Blizzard and I was running Double Darks, I think the win rate was probably like 55-45 in Ollie's favour, because if Vader got into my Double Darks and the way Force Choke was working at the time, it kind of won him the game. But if I could keep him zoned out, then I'd win the game. So it was close, but it kind of came down to when the engagements happened at the right time for the pair of us. And like when we practiced, we started practicing before Christmas, and Ollie was running Blizzard, I was running Yoda. It was kind of coming down to like a 50-50 kind of moment. When I won my invite by beating Ollie, it was a 50-50 roll off. Basically, it was like one save made the difference between me winning or Ollie winning. And it's always been that close, but our current pairings, Ollie is 5-0 against me. And I don't think we've ever had a streak where one of us has won like five games in a row versus the other.
I think the biggest before has ever been, I think two.
Yeah, two or three.
Yeah, two or three is probably like the biggest run. But yeah, five is pretty hefty.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a few. So what about, the only other thing I can think of is if you come, would you be, again, pause for thought, if you come up against someone that's got something completely mental, a la a Dave Grant list from last year or something else like that.
When I've played into Dave Grant's list, it came down to 49 kill points. And that's all it was. And if I'm bringing a Dave Grant list to 49 kill points, I'm happy. And that was on like my worst mission, which is KP.
And that's with him walking into your standby for free.
What?
Well, he triggered your standby, didn't he? He was like, oh, yep, well, that's a thing.
guess I took that away. Yeah, no, it's I think obviously any player who is taking a list has always got me worried for something that's just absolutely mental, that you do, they're like, oh, I didn't think I'd see that in 100 years, but here we go. You know, if the Tempest player comes across like Biston triple ion guy, multiple FDs, Tempest player is going to be there like, oh, well,
yeah.
Oops.
And I think that's one of the reasons not to take them, because you, as soon as you come across, if Dazar ends up facing a triple ATRT with flamers and, I don't know, Boba Fett and Din loaded up with flamers as well on round one, yeah, he's probably lost. But what he's hoping there is he doesn't get matched in round one, and you therefore he won't face him ever, because that SKU is going to struggle to win any other matchup. So I think that's the same with your Tempest Force double darks or any heavy SKU, that you're trying to play the odds on your matchup. So if you know there's only one list that beats you, just pray you never face it and you'll be fine. I mean, look at Luke Cook last year. He was worried for double darks because he had low impact but high critical. So if you just don't face it, then you can still win.
So I teched into double darks last year and I didn't see a single one. I didn't even see a single dark trooper. I think the only vehicle I came across was Austin's lap.
So the interesting thing is, so as part of Worlds, we myself and Bushman have been interviewing some prominent players from around the globe. So if when you're listening to this, you are going to Worlds and you're thinking, hey, I haven't had a chat, I'd like to chat, and I'm from Australia, I'm from Chile, I'm from wherever, reach out to us, email myself, cockles@thatsnowmoonpodcast.com, or go to Bushfacts on Discord. Who depends, you can talk to either one of us, your choice. And yeah, we're happy to chat to you. I've spoken to a Dane, I've spoken to a Pole, I've spoken to plenty of English guys, I've spoken to a couple of American guys. Now, one of which was Luke Cook, and he said that the meta at the moment is really weird because it's this rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock scenario. There's one thing beats another, the other thing beats another. There isn't a one size fits all at the moment. And that was his statement, so that'd be interesting to see. Yeah. And he at the time was genuinely, I don't know what to run. So we'll see what he runs. What are the odds that he picks up Boba Fett? So we shall see. It feels like it's, if you're a competitive player and you're in the top tier of players, it feels like it's a hard time to be picking a list and knowing what you might come up against and planning ahead and all that kind of stuff. Final thoughts on the world's event as a whole, and then Bushman and I are going to into a thing about stream. So anything final from Andy or Ollie or Bushman yourself on the actual events and or lists?
Format needs to change.
Go on, what's your critique of it?
The single elimination side. Essentially, if we're saying that only undefeateds make it through to day three, then just give us all seven games of Legion. Like, I can then go, I am top whatever based on the seven games that I've played, where at the moment I can only get to top 64, top 32. You never get your final ranking. And the final ranking you do get is not based on where you finish. It's a little gripe from last year as well still. Like, I was top four, but I never got to play for third place. So third place was decided by who won first. Because if Lila had won, then I would have been third because of the way strength of schedule works. So, like,
It sounds like you're doing your best not to sound bitter.
No, it's...
No, I'm joking, I won you up.
It's about... It goes back to why everyone always moans about SOS versus MOV, even if they are the same thing but in reverse. But it gives you control, and you get seven games of international top tier Legion, which is the thing that we're all flying out there for. But the fact that you get to then be in control of where your final position is, I think is probably more important than getting it. Like, I'm still going to get seven games of Legion in. It's either going to be seven games as part of the top 64, top 32 players, or I'm going to play side games. So I'm still playing the same amount of games of Legion and taking up the same space in the venue.
So the interesting thing is, though, it's interesting with you, John, being on that. This is a sort of a European / US debate that has rumbled for a little while, because it seems that SOS is very strong and favoured across into the States, and MOV is very favoured much more over in Europe. What are your thoughts? And you are muted, by the way.
No, we're definitely not all in that same bin.
I wouldn't say it was all, but it's the prevailing.
I think Kyle Dornbos is in that camp.
Maybe, yeah, but that's probably because we hear it more then.
And having a weekly podcast, he speaks very loud.
Hey,
but... shots fired, man.
He knows this. Me and him have done this debate internally and externally over and over. But we shan't
shuffle on this one on the debate again. But is it fair to say that in an elite tournament that maybe there is room for that, there is room for that to be investigated compared to
we came up with solutions for tiebreakers that compromised between objectives and like your SOS. Oh, but at the end of the day, you could wait it. It's essentially like the battle point system that I had made however many years ago, but then weighted based on your SOS from that opponent. You know,
just to be clear though, Cockles, like, I don't care about SOS or MIV. I care about the seven games.
I get that. I'm just
at the end of the day, that's what everyone wants. Yeah, all of us want to play the games and have it based off win and loss and not off of tiebreakers or other stuff.
That makes absolute sense.
That's why I would be an advocate to stopping the event after day one, resetting and going again.
That's what they did last year.
Because that way. If you do happen to three win in a draw into day two, you get reset and then you've got an equal opportunity to play for the final.
I think from what I've heard, the reason for it is because they want Legion to be a part of Adeptcon as a whole, which means being involved in the painting competitions, and to be a part of the official Adeptcon painting competitions, you have to have a doubles format, which is a side event on the Saturday. Now, I don't see an issue with you having the Swiss. You'll probably find the people who are 0-3 and are the casuals and don't care but do want to be a part of that doubles format are going to drop anyway. And you don't care about the people who drop, because there will be drops. And there'll be people who are upset with themselves. They didn't do as good as they wanted and they don't want to play the next three games tomorrow. But I do want to play them games, and there is a large majority of people who do. And the people who want to sign up for the doubles will still sign up, and then they just go, oh, well, I went 3-0. I went 2-1. Like, I don't care about improving my record. I want to play in doubles tomorrow because I want to enter that painting competition. And I think that way you're appealing to all the masses rather than just some of the masses, because I'm not entering painting competitions.
Ultimately, as much as there is a competitive side, it is a game and we all like to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to see if I could trigger Ollie there, but no, you know what? You get what I'm going at, that's fine.
Yeah, no, it was the 5280s. They've started churning that article. I mean, they've probably been doing it a while, but I was reading one of their articles the other week, and it was about the do's and don'ts of doing things at Worlds. And it was quite a really good read, because one of them was, as you say, it's like, don't get salty. It is just a game. I think, all right, there is a lot on the line, you know, being the world champion. Bearing in mind, you get nothing for it other than bragging rights. don't get salty if your dice abandon you. And I think it's a really good and important article to read.
Don't forget, it's all fun. So, talking of fun, you guys will obviously be playing, as we said, myself and Mr. Bushman, and Zane Ferguson will be doing the commentary for the games on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the Sunday. You guys may join us. You may not. From a me point of view, I hope you don't, for obvious reasons, because then you'll be doing well. So that's it. So we're looking forward to the streaming in general. Bushman, tell us what you've got going on. You've been doing a little bit of work behind the scenes. What can people expect to see on the stream?
Yeah, I've been trying to...
By the way, I've downplayed that. When I said you've done a little bit of work, you've done a shed ton of work. And then the things that you've put in that have made me, Ollie, and Andy go, that's awesome.
I'm really excited for it. It'll be as polished as I can get it for Worlds, but I'll obviously be continuing to make improvements for the next one as well. But I've got some basic features that to help improve the stream, like drawing on this which I know some streamers have obviously done that before. So you could like mark things. I've got actual markers where we can like place little icons where the objectives are and can anything of note is. We're going to, this one's going to take a bit of effort on the streaming side, but we've got like a little running crawler like you'd see it in sports games or in news, where we can report on other games that are going on.
Yes, we can.
There's going to be 120, 130 games simultaneously. Like, if we could post little tidbit updates about these other games, like, it'd be pretty fun.
There's, I don't know if you're probably going to be very unfamiliar with this, but
that's a great face there you're pulling there, Cockles. So.
Yeah, not too sure what's happened to his signal there, but he is paused on up.
Oh, that's going to be really good for the download service. So.
Oh, absolutely. But I think what Coco was saying was he was talking about the future of Legion, of which I think is super, super bright at the moment. We are getting releases in, so I think maybe we'd like some faster releases. For sure. I don't know what you think, Bushrex, but I think what was the last release? Was it Din?
The last release was the Geonosians.
Geonosians the two Sith.
Yeah, so Geonosians.
And then Ewoks was before that.
And obviously we've seen that we're getting we're getting Bad Batch and Republic Commandos.
Yeah.
May and July. And I've not heard about the, what are they called? Is it the range troopers?
Yeah, I think they're June, was it, on the, from Gamma, that we saw the pre-orders for all three of them go up on sale.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Reminded, there's also another one that I keep forgetting about. They did announce, must have been last year at Adeptcon. No, it was at Mini Extravaganza. They announced the Crab Droids. They'd revealed them, completely forgot about them.
Well, I'm back, I think. Well, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah,
I don't know what the hell just happened there. my computer just went boom and Karen died. So that'll be interesting to see what happens post-edit. What happened? Where was I up to?
You were talking about the future of Legion.
Yeah, so two young lads, that's it. And they had some questions who I couldn't answer because I'm not Empire players, and I thought, well, I'll post them to my experts, which are, well, you two plus John, because, and here that I'm just going to ask them now. So their names were Kai and Rio. So let me just bring up the messages because I have them saved on here. One is, Andy, I'll go to you first because you're the more prominent Empire player compared to Ollie, I believe, apart from Blizzard Force.
It's because I came fourth.
Vader triple Jubax. How would you run it? What would you do? And yeah, what's cool? How would you play a Vader triple Jubax list? Because this Rio was interested in this.
You need to be mega aggressive. You want to be playing like new ways to motivate on turn two or turn one if you're playing like advanced positions, and get them Jubax into combat. Once they're in combat, they're kind of safe, and most other units will struggle to punch you back quicker than you punch them. Just because of the armor one, and hopefully on the turn you charge, you'll do a couple of wounds. So there's only like one or two models left. So that's the way I kind of play it. But I then also kind of load up on naked shore troopers and mortars and just go for full activation padding. I think the last time I ran it for LGT, it was Vader with burst of speed. It was burst out then? Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, because I think I bought Yoda just to play that card.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I think when I last ran it, it was, I don't know if it's still viable, but it was Commander Vader, three Jubax with T-21s on. I didn't run T-21s because I had a bid, which at the event I regretted massively in my first matchup because I was playing Bomb and Run against Saps, and I was like, God damn it, I can't chase these down. Yeah, with three T21s dewbacks, and then two or three shore troopers naked, as many as you can fit in with the mortars, and then one IRG just to guardian the dewbacks for that first turn. And then if they can guardian Vader as well, then great. But it's about keeping the dewbacks alive for the first turn so that on turn two, they can just charge in, and then Vader just kind of waddles up the board, because if they're not focusing him, they're not focusing... If they're focusing him, then the dewbacks get in safely. And if they focus the dewbacks, then Vader gets in safely. So it's basically a target prioritization. And the longer you keep them alive, the better you'll do, is basically the gist of the list.
So
be wary, though.
Oh, go on.
As I say, be wary of climbing. The new climb rules really hamper that list, because dewbacks are stuck on the floor. And if you climb your hotline, I did this against Alfie last time. Oh, sorry. Alfie's dad's wife's son.
Yeah. I don't know if that works.
Checks out. Yep.
Alfie's dad's wife's daughter's son. No, daughter's son.
No, I didn't say daughter. No, I didn't say.
You did.
Oh, well. Either way. I basically moved up my entire whole gun line onto a roof. It was a long, like, hangar roof. And that was it. Like, he couldn't do anything apart from move and shoot. And I was like, yep, that's fine.
I mean, but he's got flamethrowers on these dewbacks that he's talking about, right?
I think in the list that has been submitted, it's Cockles he does, yeah. So
they'd still get blast and all the time.
Oh, yeah. You just get right up there. Yeah,
safe in melee.
I think so. I played against one of our listeners on Sunday playing Vader triple dewback, or he was playing Vader triple dewback, and he had.
Well, who was that?
I need to go on Longshanks and remember.
Okay.
But no. So he was running an IRG with the electro staff, Vader with burst reflexes, force push, the triple dewback with the T21s, and then it was three storms. With T21s and one storm with medic. The T21s storm squads have also got medic. So three medics. I think it's five T21s across the list. Three dewbacks, Vader. So and it hits hard.
There you go, Rio. There's that one. So Ollie, I'll do the next question to you from them, and then Bushman, you can have the last one. So Ollie, the next one for you is Force User Shenanigans. Why and how, or when's the best time to use a standby or attack? How, this is basically the question summing up, is basically Force User tips. What would you do?
Don't be over aggressive with your Force User. It's never necessary, unless you have the list that can back it up. So you need to have, I wouldn't be comfortable taking a Force User if I didn't have a way of healing them in some way. You're only ever one bad roll away from them dropping. And that's a quarter of your army gun for the most part. Use your force pushes sparingly if you don't have Master of the Force. There's ways where you can sort of force push people into you and stand by, but then just make sure that you're not going up against a list that can put a suppression on you or move you in any way. So trying to make sure that they're locked in combat or hid behind some decent line of sight blockers is generally pretty good. And then it's really, really heavy timing management on when you dive a force user. If you dive too early, your force user dies. If you dive too late, you've missed using or getting the value out of them. And you know, especially against like a gun line. So in some matchups you're gonna find that the tables just don't suit a force user, and so it's best just to keep them back and try and play with your other units as best as you can. And then jump them across as your opponent jumps across to you. But if you're running a Force User, always take Hostage Exchange in your deck, as it's just a great mission for you. Force Push is single-handedly the best upgrade in the game.
Lovely. So I hope that helps on that one. And the final question, John Bushman. This could be summed up in an acronym, which is MGGA, Mugaga. Make Grievous great again. Oh. Is there a chance that Grievous could be great again / ever? Is there a way that Grievous can be Grievous competitive? Can Grievous be competitive? Is there a way you can use him competitively? Now, we know, just as a aside, we know that it can be, having seen a Grievous list do very well at the MKGT that Andy runs last year. But I'm wondering what happens stateside.
Grievous hasn't played stateside. Right. So
isn't there that one guy who plays him?
The one out of the 300 million, maybe. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Didn't Austin do well with him at some point? Didn't he win like back to back tournaments with
Austin? He's a connoisseur of lists.
I mean, I can think of. I can certainly think of some things to call him. connoisseur is not one of them.
Yeah, I thought Evan Bulrus did a grievous list, I think, and did well with it as well.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with what list he ran though with that.
So, I'm giving you a brief then. This is a hard. I admit this is a hard question, but because Grievous, on the whole, is not as competitive as you'd like him to be because of the way the game is. But if you were to play him in some form of an attempt at being competitive, how would you do it? How might you do it, I should say?
That is really tough. His courage, I know, is one of the biggest things stopping him. Scale getting nerfed also hurts his maneuver. Maybe it doesn't make sense thematically to give him jump, but he almost needs something like jump to get into the fight quicker. Relentless is great and all, but when he's got a pretty weak pistol and two lightsabers,
could he have an inbuilt burst of speed one time use in his unit card?
I think you could update a command card to do it.
Command cards, yeah, because his command cards have gotten worse as well.
Just fix scale. Like,
please,
that's
fix scale. Yeah.
Just make scale like it was.
Be specific with it.
Well, everyone now has old scale in a way, kind of close-ish, isn't it?
No.
I suppose
old scale is gone.
Yeah, but I mean, like, every unit now has old scale, kind of. The way you move and climb.
Every unit has a speed one jump.
Yeah, that's probably a better way of describing it.
Yeah.
But then I think giving him a speed two jump is essentially just giving him jump. So
yeah,
you have to kind of change climb to make scale work again. Because maybe if they made climb... So you did a speed one move, but you've got to be touching the building to begin with. But scale meant you didn't have to do that. That's like the only way I can see it.
And that's still worse than it used to be.
Yeah, it's like a middle ground, isn't it? Like, but then you're changing the whole fundamentals of climb just to fix scale.
Yeah, I think they could have just reworded scale to take out the climbing word, but keep scale how it was before. You know, you can do a move to base contact a piece of terrain, and then you can place yourself on top of the terrain near the edge where you based it, right?
Yeah.
And then the same thing going down.
That used to be so much fun.
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, you could get 7-inch moves out of your speed two, and you could climb up and down. There was so much you could do with it.
And now you can climb to height too.
Yeah. So with, and the units you that guys... had it, they're not doing. They weren't doing great, and now they're just doing worse.
Yeah.
So with you guys tweaking the keyword scale, that's a big segues. Love. Look how that seamlessly moves on into the new keywords that have come out. Andy, I'm just basically going to defer to you and you and Mr. Bushman, because I've not really seen much because. Busy, so I'll defer to you as the resident rules expert.
Yeah, well, it wasn't pointed out to me because I actually hadn't opened up the rule book yet since they got released. And it was only upon tonight that I tried to open it, and as Bushman said, have you seen how bad it is at loading? And I was like, no, and then it really is. So, just a public statement out there, like, let us know if anyone else is also having issues rather than just the two of us. But the latest rule update added seven changes or updates to existing current words. So we'll work alphabetically, as the rule book does, or the CRB, sorry. And the first one is advanced targeting unit type X, with X being a unit keyword. So when a unit with the advanced targeting X keyword declares an attack against an enemy unit with the unit type listed, Before measuring range, it may gain X aim tokens. A unit that uses the advanced targeting keyword may only form one attack pool and skips the declare additional defender step of the attack sequence. So I'm going to assume, because this is obviously a new keyword, this is going to be for either commandos or Bad Batch. I don't know, like...
Definitely feels like a Crosshair kind of thing.
Yeah, because no split fire, that sort of thing.
Do you reckon Crosshair will be like... do you reckon the unit type here is just going to be Trooper? Or do you reckon it's going to be droid?
Do you reckon it could be different for each different Bad Batch member if it's a Bad Batch thing? So like Wrecker goes on one, Crosshair goes another.
Bad Batch is one unit though, right?
So
this said you can't split.
Yeah, true. Who? It's an interesting one. But basically, extra aims if shooting a specific type of thing.
Kind of like a hunter, except it doesn't have to be wounded. It just has to be a specific type.
Yeah, and I think depending on how deep that goes, if it's like droid trooper, then I think there's a lot of theme there because obviously clones v where if it's generic trooper or vehicle, then I think that would be even bigger. But then, I think it's a freebie, so you can't complain.
I wonder if this sets up a potential errata's not well. I suppose errata's the best word for it. Errata for future units or redo of old units. For example, if they were to redo the T-47 card, it might have advanced targeting if shooting vehicles. I wonder. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
I mean, why not do it as an upgrade? You know, like advanced targeting computer and for vehicles, and then like depending on what advanced targeting that you purchase, it gives you an aim when shooting that type of unit. There's a neutral upgrade there that benefits every faction. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody benefits.
I really want to see, and I can't express this enough, a vigilance for aims. I don't care if it's just for, or if it's just like specific to sniper teams, because I think if you look at snipers in real life, they sit there for hours on end waiting to pick a target. They don't just lose focus.
Why are you two so against that out of interest? I actually see the merit in that, so I'm not disagreeing. But I'm both Andy and Bushman both went no.
Go on, Bushman, you go first. Actually, you're muted. He's that very like animated.
It keeps getting me. Empire in general gets a ton of aims, right? So they are going to be the biggest ones that get to abuse that. And it's already, in my opinion, a problem how many aims they can get. And Rebels, their shtick is dodges, right? And dodges are bad in a lot of ways, unless you're sharing them. Like,
I mean, let's not even talk about Pink Suns.
But what if you were to make it something like 8 points, and it's essentially vigilance is one aim?
I think rather than a command upgrade, which is what vigilance currently is, if you did it as like a training slot, that'd be interesting for your sniper teams, where on that odd occasion you aim shoot and you roll a double hit, you could carry the aim between rounds, but you're paying the premium on the training upgrade slot. I can kind of see it like that, because then that means like your core units, if you're going to invest down certain stupid like that, you're going to have to put captains in there plus the upgrade slot. And it turns you into like the Rebel dodge spam kind of archetype and stuff. Maybe.
I feel like you might clone players will love that. I'll have that on my arcs, move, keep it, not spend it, and then I'll get the aim and keep it and all this sorts of stuff. So I'll have double aim with DC-15, all that kind of shenanigans.
But that's still eight points for an upgrade on the unit, which is 8 points that you're not spending elsewhere.
Don't have many upgrades at the moment.
That's two situational awarenesses that you'd have to drop to keep an aim for that shot. But it makes... I think that the more options and decisions you give to players, the more variety in lists you're going to see.
Yeah. And variety is the spice of life.
Next one.
Next one.
Nice quick one. Associate unit name. During army building, a unit of the associate keyword does not count its rank towards the maximum rank requirements for that rank. If a unit with a specified unit name is included in the same army, rank.
It's kind of like retinue, basically, isn't it?
Yes.
Entourage.
Entourage, thank you. That's not the one.
Yeah, because retinue is free tokens.
Yeah, retinue is free tokens. Entourage is the one I was thinking of, yeah.
But you don't get to give a free order out, which is the important difference.
Yep.
Entourage. Yeah, this
is, yeah, and this is on Fifth Brother has it, or Seventh Sister? Seventh Sister has it, doesn't it?
Yeah, one of the Inquisitors. Yep.
Is that the right way around?
One of the Inquisitors has it. There you go, that'll do.
Yeah.
Next up, complete the mission.
During setup, for each friendly unit with complete the mission keyword, place a friendly priority mission token on the battlefield, not within any deployment zones. While a unit with the complete the mission keyword is at range 1 of a friendly priority mission token, that gains surge to block. When a unit with the complete mission keyword attacks an enemy unit at range 1 of a friendly priority mission token, the attacking unit gains a critical 2 keyword. That's pretty good.
When a unit with a complete attacks an enemy. Oh, okay. So they get a bonus. Oh, that's, yeah. Okay, that's damn good.
Clones living up for key positions.
Yep. that's clone commandos all over that one, I reckon.
Yeah, I think it's really spicy. Like, it turns you to a nice little tanky unit. Like, turns you into Mandos for it's not even for a turn. It's forever.
It's the whole game, but they have to be in that specific area, that which is cool. But you can.
Yeah, but.
You plan for that, which is handy because it's your choice.
Because they've used the correct wording, it's at range 1. So as long as one model is at range 1 of the token, my whole squad's got it. So you can fling a guy backwards, or, you know, like, depending on how you need it. So if you are playing key positions and you're playing something like advanced positions or major offensive, where your edge of your deployment zone is dead center, you're only range 2 away from the middle. Is that right? Mass 6? Yeah. So, in theory, you could have the token sat in the middle, which would then cover the center of KP and cover, like, the edge of your deployment zone. So as soon as you move out your deployment zone, you're good. Like, you've got that benefit.
That is so cool. I'm looking forward to that one. So that'd be fun.
It is definitely a red save biased keyword.
Yeah, yeah, this is true. Yeah,
most all the rebel white saves already have surge block, so not that they'll probably get the keyword.
The only ones who don't are the B1s. Yeah,
surely that upgrade is for rebel ATRTs, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean that works, right?
Hey.
If only.
Moving on to independent. I'll read it out since I've got it in front.
Yeah, yeah.
At the start of the activation phase, if a unit with the independent keyword does not have an order token, that unit may gain the listed token or perform the listed action as a free action. So, I mean, I feel like that's just a quick rework of it, isn't it? That's how independent this works.
It has mainly changed it from a must to a may.
Oh, a may. Oh, there you go.
There's another thing that it's also changed.
And also you can have it as a free action.
Yeah, and I think that this is really important because a lot of people I'm seeing online are interpreting that as, oh, I get a dodge, which means I get a dodge action, so on a Sarge.
That's been Seth.
That's wrong. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I wanted to make that crystal clear for people who hadn't read the forums, that it's not that way. If you've got independent dodge, you're not taking a dodge action, you're getting a dodge token. The action is for a unit that's coming out and they might have independent move action, which would be quite cool. Or it could be an attack action. It could be any action. A recover would be cool for some unknown if they errated and updated Bistan's unit with Pathfinders, you know, independent recover. That'd be pretty cool for them.
One for the Boba Fett one, in terms of course he gets the standby, would be quite interesting. So you can obviously, if he, the choice of when you may take that standby comes in handy. Because if you say you play that, he has it and then he gets shot, so he loses his standby. It's like, well, there's no point in having it. And then you can move him and actually just, what's the word I'm looking for? You can move it and then take it, and it forces a slight quandary on you, put it on your opponent potentially.
Yeah.
That's just me playing out loud with that one. What's next? Interrogate. I'll read it if I've got it in front, unless someone else wants to. I don't mind.
I've got it open. It's up to you.
I'll do it then, and then someone you can do the last, or Ollie and Bushman can do the last two. During the command phase, if a player reveals a command card that belongs to a unit at range one of one or more enemy units with the interrogate keyword, and there would be a tie for priority, treat that command card as having one more pip. It's basically cunning, but in a different way. No, in a different way. So instead of you gaining it, they lose theirs. Instead of they gain something like, go on, how is it very, very different?
The important part is...
range one, obviously.
No, that's not the issue. It's cool. A command card that belongs to that unit.
Okay, fair enough.
So if you're at range one of Krennic and I play any of Krennic's command cards, then they become one less pip. But if I play, Ambush, it's still a one pip. So it still gives you the chance, if you've got generic command cards, to contest... roll off. But yeah, that's the bigger difference, where cunning, I think, is if you are the same, then you count as one less.
So, cunning is also commander specific cards, though.
Yes, but interrogate only works against your opponent playing a commander specific card.
Right, so they're both dealing with commander-specific cards.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I suppose it's doing it in reverse, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought, cunning in reverse, but with a specific scenario. Thoughts on that? Ollie?
Yeah, pretty good.
What's the timing on cunning versus interrogate?
If a player reveals a command card that belongs to, range one or more enemies, and there would be a tie for priority. And then,
identical wording. I'm sure
blue would resolve theirs then. So blue would resolve either cunning or interrogate first.
Okay.
Because if you've not got priority yet, which you're determining, then blue always resolves before red. I think that's how off the top of my head, I think that's right.
Well, there's one to check in. Right, what are we down to? Last ones. Ollie, do you want to do We're Not Regs? If you've got it up.
I do not. I'm on a work laptop and it will not let me open it.
That's fair enough. Bushman, have you got We're Not Regs on?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, so... it is a unit keyword, and it says a unit with the We're Not Regs keyword may not spend green tokens on other clone trooper units, and other clone trooper units may not spend that unit's green tokens. The fire support keyword cannot be used while a unit with the We're Not Regs keyword is performing an attack. So it's taking away everything that makes them clone troopers so far, and prevents them from... virus supporting together with clones.
Yeah.
Which means to me that the Bad Batch is going to have a hell of a dice pool.
I hope so.
Are we going to assume that Bad Batch have completed the mission, or is that Commandos?
Either is equally likely.
Or both.
Yeah.
Honestly. Or both.
I feel like both would be good.
Because I think if they do, then that probably helps them. Because then that means they don't need to worry about sharing surges, because they have surge to defend and they've got critical two.
Jeez.
That would be fun. That would be. I look forward to seeing.
I think it makes sense that they give complete the mission to the same unit that says We're Not Regs, because they don't want to add critical two to the Z6 kind of thing from fire support.
Oh, that'd be juicy.
Right.
So there's that. And then the last one on that one then, RAM, which is a reword, retweak of RAM. Ollie, have you got it? Or no, you haven't, because you can't get it. I'll read it out then. While a unit performs an attack using an attack pool that includes a weapon with the RAM X keyword, during the modify attack dice step, it may change X dice to critical results if it meets either of the following conditions. The unit leader has a notched base, and the unit performed at least one full standard move at its maximum speed during the same activation as an attack using Ram X. And the, or the unit leader has a small base and the unit performed at least one move during the same activation as an attack using Ram X.
Do you know what the new bit there is?
That's some... who the bloody hell's getting small base Ram?
Fifth brother.
Fifth brother.
Of course he is. Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
Now, have you... well, I know you won't have cockles, but John, have you seen the rules forum on this fifth brother with Ram?
No. What's I've seen things about it, but...
So... The reason for this kind of obviously he has Ram on it and it's on his saber melee saber attack, so they've added that as long as he does one move during his activation, then he gains Ram X. I think he's got Ram 2 if I remember right.
Yeah.
So if he has saber throw, has his force power, then he can move, lob his saber, and he then converts two crits because the. Ram is not restricted to melee attacks.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is...
That seems stupid, by the way.
It's stupid for many reasons, because he only has one force slot, and if you're wasting it, and he doesn't have Relentless, so you're kind of moving out into the open, lobbing a saber throw for this two crits, pierce one. but it's only three black dice. The interesting rules query that came up in the forum is you do Ram during the modify attack dice step, which is after you've spent your aims and after your opponent has spent dodges. So there was a rules question, I believe it was Lila who actually asked it, because we were discussing this in person and she went out of her way to do it. If I rolled... all three hits with my saber throw from fifth brother, one goes to cover and then they've got dodges, they dodge the other two, so there's no, what happens to the dice? Are they just being blocked or are they removed from the dice pool? Because Ram says you convert what's left in the dice pool. So they ruled on the forums that dice are actually removed from the dice pool, so therefore there'd be no dice to have at the end for him to convert Ram. So what you'd actually want is two blanks, because the blanks don't get removed from the dice pool. You go through all the modified dice steps, and then after the defender's done everything they can, including barrier, you then go, them two blanks now become crits.
And that's why it's silly.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a very niche case. And like, there's a couple of other things, like if Tauntauns decide to ram into pikes or... stuff like that, and they literally can dodge everything bar the two that were converted to Ram. So the timing of when you convert Ram is now maybe important.
So basically, you're going to sit there, when you're rolling your dice now, you're sitting there going, come on, blanks.
Yeah, that's the...
Or re-roll into blanks.
Honestly. Or re-roll into, yeah, if you've got aims, which fifth brother can get pretty easily.
Yeah.
I'm just going to re-roll into blanks, please, because you can't dodge them. It's a very weird and very niche, but as I say, if Tauntaun's charge into, I don't know, say Cad Bane, who's got six dodge tokens on him, so the max dice pool the Tauntauns can do is six, you'd sit there and go, well, he just dodges everything. Well, technically no, because if he blanks out on any of them attack dice, you can't dodge the two Rams.
Niche,
but very important to know.
That's going to cause some madness.
Yeah, but
it just needs a tweak to say melee attack, doesn't it? Really, just has to have melee attack.
I don't think it matters, because as I say, if you think about the Tauntaun scenario, it's the Ram keyword is currently being done after everything else. It just needs move into
after dodge and cover, at least.
It needs to be done before the dodge and cover step. Because it's done during the same step as impact, and that's the weird timing of it all.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, they're the new keywords that have come out. I feel for any judges coming up. That's that conversation wrapped up. Moving on. Events. A couple of events. We had an email in from Jose. He just wanted to shout out.
Jose
the Spanish
Welshman.
Jose the Spanish Welshman. He said, I'll read it verbatim here. The Welsh Spaniard, how are you doing? Please see below list of events I'll be running in Cardiff and Bristol over the next few months. I need to plan quite ahead to ensure space in the venues. So on May 4th, may the 4th be with you, in Firestorm, they've got an event, but it's unfortunately sold out. But maybe if you ask nicely, they may have a waiting list. So that's that one. The following day in Bristol, which is around the corner, at Bristol Independent Gaming, there's a 3-round 16-player event. So if you can't do the Saturday, you can do the Sunday. That worked out quite well. On the 13th of July, he's marketing an MKGT warm-up at Firestorm in Cardiff. 30 players, 4 rounds. And on the 14th of September, there's something going on in Bristol Independent Gaming. It hasn't got a name yet, but it's got 16 players. There'll be links to the events going out soon. But I just thought I'd chuck that out there because we've been needing some stuff out west and Bristol and Cardiff. And yeah, so that's all good to know, good to hear. Ollie, have you got any events that are coming up?
Other than we've got a local War Games Workshop this weekend, Andy's event on Saturday. We've still got 8 spots left. So if you do listen, you want to come down. There's a lot of us just getting our last bit of practice in for Worlds. I believe Sam Page has got a May the 4th and 5th event on. So that'll be a good 2-day. It always is up at Element. I think Andy and I have been for the last 2 years now to that one.
Yeah,
and that's always a good laugh. And Element's always a good laugh as well. Outside of that, I'm not sure I've seen too many other events, but I'm certainly keeping an eye out for when we get the Norwich or the Alpha games coming.
If you can't make the journey north, or you're not in the north, and you want to be somewhere more southern-based in the Essex area, Wayland Games and Hockley have got a event on the 4th of May themselves as well. Funny that all these events are on 4th of May. It's not like it's Star Wars Day or anything. And I'll be at the 4th of May one in Hockley because it's down the road from me. It's not too far away, so I'll be there. If you want to know more, speak to Andreas Killy, as he's the guy who will be organising. I don't know if he's TOing, but at least he'll be doing something important down that way because he's based out that way, so that's his show. Other stuff going on, you've got the Mando Cup at Harlequins Games, Harlequins in Preston, Ollie's homeland, and there's other things going on. The best thing to do, as always, is to go on legionevents.app and look up events on there, and yeah, you can help yourself and see what's going down. Other than that, there's this small tournament going on in Chicago in like a week's time.
No one's going to it. They might get like 5 people, maybe.
Yeah, 5 times 50, maybe. Anyway, that's the show, really.
No, it's not. How dare you skip over me on events?
You're on every 2 weeks. We know what you're going to say. There's one in MK.
Is it TGKM?
The Mug MGTK?
So, the Mug GT.
The Mug GT. would you like fries with that?
Would you like to go large?
The TMGT, that's it, the TMGT.
That tickets obviously still going, but they are selling quickly. We've now crossed the halfway mark.
Who's halfway, Mark? And why have you crossed him?
Well, he's related to Mark Radford.
Sorry, mate. Don't you mean Rad Markford?
Naughty. I'll punch him in the face for that for you there, Mark. Don't worry.
No, you won't.
But yeah, I know a lot of people are kind of messaging and going, oh, how many are left? Well, we've now officially crossed the halfway of 96 tickets, so that's that 48 sold. So I think this time last year we had sold all 64, but obviously we were only a 64 man tournament last year, but they are, like, we've sold 5 in the last 48 hours, so do bear that in mind that they are shifting. Keep an eye out on the social medias and we'll keep telling you on how close it's getting. But I wouldn't pull it off for too much longer because I think we will be sold out fairly soon. Mate, that's 6 because I forgot Ollie's just purchased his with a mat this week.
I mean, don't forget I'm going as well. I just need to save the ticket. I just need to sort
you
it out later.
No, you've got to pay for it, man.
Well, obviously. You got to pay for it. Keep it there and save it.
Nope, no privileges. No one else gets them. Obviously, I should also mention... Yeah, so buy all the tickets so Cockles can't come, so we can all rub it in.
What's that? Is that two super large major events that you're not invited to?
We've got the UKTC events as well. So obviously Sheffield for July the 13th and 14th. Tickets are on early bird special. And keep an eye out next week over Adeptcon to find out what these official regional championships will be holding. So like, even I don't know what we're being given at these events, but we'll be given whatever the World Open qualifier status was and is going to be announced at Adeptcon next week. So it'd be great for me to know, but also for you guys as well, if you want to get your early bird £10 off. I've also, because I know a lot of people also message me about UK Games Expo, I've been telling you behind the scenes for the people who've been looking at coming from abroad that it is going ahead. I can now officially say that it is booked. Tickets will be going on sale soon. I don't know when. And it is, again, whatever status we get based on what Adeptcon announced next week. But Games Expo will contain a Legion, Armada, X-Wing, Shatterpoint, and MCP events.
No Unlimited?
I imagine there will be, because I imagine Tommy will be running that with all the card stuff, but Zach's not running Unlimited. Hmm. And worst case is, we're going to run our own little side event after the games are finished of Legion players playing Unlimited. We'll buy a box and that'll be a participation buy-in, and the winner walks over with a box.
Oh, I feel like this is going to be a money pit if I get involved. Oh, God. Never mind. Anyway.
But yeah, that's me on events. Three big ones.
Yeah, it's three big ones and a couple of other bits and pieces. That's all good. Yeah. Talking about swag. It should be noted that if you are going to be watching the stream coming up next week, that if you can't make Adepticon, there is the potential that you could win some swag that Adepticon have for offer. All I'm going to say is just maybe you should watch the stream and find out for yourself. Who knows? That's all I'm going to say.
Are we allowed to say...
Oh, I'm saying who knows? That's why I'm saying who knows.
No, but are we allowed to say, I think we are, aren't we? That we're going to be showcasing the prize wall,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we will be. So when we haven't actually had that information come to us yet.
What that is, but we are showcasing it.
We are going to show so I was trying to be coy, Andy, but fine, spoil it all. That's why I know. So basically, we will be we'll be given access and some privileged things that we can give away on stream. And we plan to send that worldwide, not just UK and the US, anywhere you are. If you're listening in Chile, if you're listening in South Africa, Australia, wherever, it's up for grabs. Because because the Adepticon organisers, in their words, and AMG said, we appreciate people can't make it every year all the time due to financial commitments and time and distance and all this sorts of stuff. But we want to make it. They were very, very passionate about wanting to make this a very big community project. And that's something that obviously ourselves, Bushman Zane and the Yavin base in general have sort of said, yeah, this is what we want to do as well, and make it available for everyone, because we're all one big community, and make it all happy go lucky people, that sort of stuff. Bushman, do you have anything you want to have, any other business? Have you got any other events that like maybe coming up after Worlds that you can say, hey, if you're in the States, come over here?
No, not particularly. I've moved recently and I'm not like a regional TO or anything of the sorts. I'm just a nomad nowadays.
Where did you move to and to?
From Arizona to Houston, Texas.
Oh, in the deserts, quite a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot less deserty here than it was in Arizona.
That's nice. To be fair, I've heard nice things about Houston, so that's all good. That's
an alright guy.
It's oh God. And that's the show, really, because we've come out to the end and we can't think of anything less to say. So, Bushman, thank you for coming on the show. Have you had fun?
Yeah, it was a ton of fun.
Yeah. It didn't sound too convincing there, but I'll take that. It's all good. Ollie, thank you for being on the show. Have you got any well, actually, sorry, Bush, before I go back, if people want to contact you about rules and queries and things, where could they do so? If you wish to give out your social media details, where can they contact you if you want them
to? Yeah, I have an email that I'll start paying attention to more. bushfactsanalytics@gmail.com.
Boom.
That's a cool email.
Nice. Ollie, thank you for being on. Are you looking forward to Worlds next week?
I am, mate. Should be exciting, except for that I'm sharing a plane ride with Andy.
Is he going to get stopped at the airport again?
I hope he does for real this time. Like, for real. And I hope he gets the full treatment.
Yeah. And just FYI, Jack and Tom, your time will come. Your time will come.
Oh, 100%. Don't you worry, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just, yeah. But no, Ollie, anything, if people want to contact you about events and sponsorship specifically, how can they do so, please?
So you can find me on Discord under CBT3-ThatsNoMoon. You can also message our Facebook page or, well, actually, no, don't message Instagram if you want to get a hold of me because I don't understand it. But yeah, message on Facebook and I'll do my best to respond.
What about your flashy email address that you have?
So it is Ollie, so that's OLLY, at ThatsNoMoonPodcast.com.
Lovely. Andy, same questions.
You can email me at andy@thatsnomoonpodcast.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, Andrew Terrell, or on the Discord as AJST, and pretty much everything bar Stabcast on my user tags. I need to message them and get on their a podcast so I can then put that affiliation on my username as well. I just want every podcast, and I think Legion, how is it, the 5280 have got one as well. I'm going to get on there. I'm just going to whore myself out to every podcast.
Have you been on the Australian ones yet?
RC4? No. Oh, I'd love to be on with them, actually.
Well, should we add these guys? We had got to do the return trip, and I'm waiting on the time where we can all be scheduled on there.
So I'm looking forward to their post Worlds. After last year's one, I was in hysterics listening to that.
And on that, so I'm cockles at thatsnomoonpodcast.com. Same Facebook on there, Cockles Faulkner, Twitter, Cockles Faulkner, X. You can go on. Also check out our YouTube channel at TNM Pod, because Tom has got some more battle reports coming. He will have more battle reports coming out after Worlds, because we've just been keeping him busy with loads of interviews and stuff. So keep your eyes peeled. And also there'll be some more content coming out, because he's getting it all prepped before he has baby times. And if you want to be one of our battle report people and play against him, and you're able to travel and stuff to him or whatnot, reach out to him, tom@thatsnomoonpodcast.com, and arrange. He's currently playing, as we speak, Tom Zarowski in a game this evening. So we'll see how that goes.
He better win or he's out.
I'm not going to say he is, because he does more work than the two of you.
It's why Jack's not here. He's out already. Like, he lost it the weekend at the tournament. He's out.
I heard when they announced his results, and I just shouted disappointed. I was like, take that jumper off right now.
he'll still be there, don't worry, because we need him to help put out more content and things. So there. But yeah, if you want to be on the videos, reach out to Tom. He will be more than happy to accommodate and get you on the street, get you on the videos. And also, if you have questions about, because we obviously do like rules queries and or tips and tricks and lists, reach out to us and say, hey, I want to see what a Mandalorian list looks like, or I want to see what a Geonosian list looks like. So reach out and we'll try and get a video out, pumped out that way. But other than that, you've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. My name's Cockles, and thank you very much for listening. And tune in a couple of weeks' time, where we will either be talking about a great event that one of these two won, or a great event that one of these two didn't win, because it's going to be a great event regardless. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye. You've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. To keep up to date with us, please like and follow us on Facebook, That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, and Instagram, That's No Moon Podcast.